is, here we go. Do I have to do something to turn this on? Sorry, guys. I almost forgot the microphone, so we'll get this going in one second. There'll be a number of passages that I'll put on the overhead this morning for time's sake, and but there will also be passages that will invite you to, thank you, I'll invite you to open your Bibles and turn with me as well. We'll start this morning, and we're going to be talking about our attitude towards sin. In the first part of Psalms 97, verse 10, it says, "You who love the Lord hate evil." For those who love the Lord, we must hate that which is evil. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, it says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." And that brings us to our theme text really this morning, and that's Romans 12, verse 9. The theme for our lesson this morning is, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." I want to talk more about that, but we are told very explicitly to abhor evil. Thus, we need to be doing that. And we're also told to cleave to good. And we need to do a better job at these things. Now, let me ask the question first of all this morning is, well, what is evil? And what is good? What is good? What is bad? If one of you ladies were to make the best coconut cake or best coconut pie that's ever been made, and you bring it to my house, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't like coconut. I'm probably not going to eat any of it. Now, Marla, on the other hand, she's going to love you. She's going to give you a hug, and she's going to say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." She loves coconut. Boiled shrimp, on the other hand. I love boiled shrimp. If you put some Cajun seasoning and spice it up, that is good stuff. On the other hand, Marla doesn't want any part of that. She just thinks that's gross to peel that shell off of that and those tiny little legs and peel that off and eat that. That's just gross. She doesn't want any part of that. A lot of you know that I like hiking, but I've got friends who would rather just lay back in the recliner and, hey, I can get my drink out of the refrigerator and I can run and get me some chips or drink or food, or I can just lay back in the air conditioning, and that's their way of having fun. But you know what? Neither of our likes or dislikes about coconut makes coconut good or bad. And neither of our likes or dislikes about boiled shrimp or my like of hiking and maybe your disdain of hiking, that doesn't make it good or evil. That doesn't make it good or bad, because our opinions are just that. And our preferences are just that. They're opinions and maybe what I like or don't like. What I feel and what I believe to be right or wrong doesn't make it right or wrong. You know, some people like to drink alcohol and get drunk. I think that's wrong. It's not wrong because I think it's wrong. It's not right because they think it's right. It's wrong because God condemns it. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Drunkards, he says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's wrong not because of what I think, because of what God thinks. Fornication, sexual immorality, is commonly accepted by much of society. They don't see anything wrong with it. Go out and have a good time. Just fulfill whatever desires you want. I think that's wrong. But it's not wrong because I think it is. It's wrong because God says it is. Ephesians 5, verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting, for saints." Some people think there's nothing wrong with using bad language, cussing and using profanity. But God condemns that. If we continue there, continue in Ephesians 5, verse 4, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Foolish talking, coarse jesting, these things are not fitting. Colossians 3, verse 8, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." You know, these things are wrong. Because God said they were wrong. Not because of what I think, not because of what you think or what I feel or you feel, but because the Word of God condemns them. Let's take a look at the story of King Saul. Turn with me at 1 Samuel verse 15, or chapter 15. In 1 Samuel 15, when we think about this question, what is evil? And who decides that? Well, God decides that. But let's look at the story of Saul. I know most of you know that, but in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Start in verse 2. 1 Samuel 15, beginning in verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Now he's talking to Samuel here, but Samuel's going to deliver these instructions to King Saul. I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Saul is being instructed here by God, utterly destroy the Amalekites. And now we know the story how he didn't really do that. He would spare the king, King Agag. He would spare the best of the flocks and the herds. That takes us down to about verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he's turned back from following me, has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Let's go down to verse 13. And then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, put that in your memory right quick. Saul is saying, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to the sacrifice of the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? So we have in this context here, you know, Samuel confronts Saul for what he did. But Saul says, hey, I obeyed the Lord. I performed the commandment of the Lord. And then you can sort of see Samuel as he says, be quiet. He's just like, be quiet, Saul. I don't want to hear it. You know, it's sort of the impression I get. And then it goes on, he says in verse 19, you did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now let's go down to verse 20. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission in which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. That wasn't part of the commandment, was it? I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. You know, Saul is sort of, he's just messed. He's sort of talking out of both sides of his mouth. I've done this, I've done that. But he apparently wasn't listening very close. But in verse 21, he says, But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Saul is making excuses. He begins to blame the people. And then verse 22, Samuel says, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Remember what Saul said. He said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel's telling him, you have rejected the word of the Lord. And because of that, he has rejected you from being king. You know, let's give Saul just a little bit of a benefit of a doubt, just for a moment. And let's pretend like he really did think he was obeying the Lord. Because he said he did. He said, I performed the commandment. What he felt that he was doing and what he may have actually believed he was doing, he may have believed that he was obeying. He may have believed and felt that he was doing good. But that didn't matter, did it? Because what he was actually doing was evil. He had rejected the word of the Lord. Regardless of how he felt, regardless of what Saul thought he was doing evil. Because Saul didn't determine what was good and evil. What Saul felt or believed didn't make it good or evil. What Saul did was evil by the only standard that matters, God and His Word. Go with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Begin reading there in verse 20. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Jesus speaking here, and Jesus says, What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Notice what he said in verse 23. All these evil things. And he listed out a number of things, including adulteries. Lots of people don't think that's wrong. Fornication, sexual immorality, thefts, covetousness. All those things, he calls them evil. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Beginning there. Works of the flesh. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. This sounds just like the list we just read. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. How many people do you know? How many people have you seen in this world who practice these very things? They don't see anything wrong with these things. They don't see anything evil about them. They just do what they want to do. Yet we see that all these things are evil in the eyes of God. So what is evil? Well, evil is anything that is sinful. Evil is anything that is against God and His Word. It is disobedience to God. And anything that is evil will keep us out of the kingdom of God. And what are we told to do to the evil? Back to Romans 12, verse 9, our theme text, abhor that which is evil. And when we talk about what does abhor mean, it means to hate it. It means to despise it, to utterly detest it, to be disgusted with it. That's our attitude about sin ought to be. You know, let's say you're walking down the road, or let's say you're taking a nature hike through the woods, and you've got your family with you, and you're going about your own business, and you're going out there, and you're bringing a picnic lunch and all that stuff, and you start to smell this terrible smell. And you smell, and you keep going, and it just gets worse and worse, and that smell just gets stronger and stronger, and then you come up on the source of that smell. Now, maybe it's a dead animal, a dead deer, or a dead cow. Now, I'm not going to get too graphic about it, but you can imagine what a dead cow would smell like after a few days of being out in the woods in the middle of July or August. Now, in your mind, you can sort of picture what that's like, and maybe in your imagination, you can sort of think about what that smells like. That would be an awful stench. Now, would you do this? Would you say, hey, kids, we're going to lay out our picnic table right here and bring your chairs up, and we're just going to have our picnic lunch right beside it? Or would you say, hey, kids, don't play over there by the trees and out of the leaves. Come over here. We're going to sit over here by this. Would you do that? No, it's ridiculous. Why? It's disgusting. That would be disgusting. And that's what sin ought to be to us. It ought to be disgusting. We ought to be disgusted with sin as we are told to abhor it. Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5, so the fifth psalm. There we're going to begin in about verse 4. Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5, verse 4. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in thy sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. God hates, God abhors wickedness. And so must we. But do we? Do we hate the evil? Do we really, truly hate the evil? Do we actually abhor it? Are we actually disgusted with sin? Or does it depend on what the sin is, whether I'm disgusted with it or not? God said to abhor it, and we've got to do that. I'm going to give you a name here in just a second. A man's name that some of you younger people, you probably heard this name. I hope you haven't, but you probably have. Most of us have heard this name. Howard Stern. Howard Stern. I don't know what you associate when you hear that name. But back in his heyday, he was on broadcast radio, and that would be FM radio. And he had a peak of about 20 million listeners while he was on broadcast radio. Now, he made the move to satellite radio. And one of the primary reasons he moved from broadcast to satellite was he was afraid of what the FCC would do to him if he kept doing the filthy things that he had been doing on FM radio. So he moved to satellite radio. Now, the scary part is millions of people listen to his filth and his nasty mouth every day. Now, you might think, well, I would not listen to that. I wouldn't listen to stuff like that. But what do you listen to? What do you watch? What do you choose to be entertained with? Do you watch TV shows with lots of sexual innuendos? Do you? What about shows that have lead homosexual roles where they make fun, they make light of the whole idea of homosexualism, and they just get a big laugh out of it, and then you laugh right along with them? Do you allow your kids or your grandkids to watch shows or even cartoons maybe where parents are disrespected? And then you wonder why, oh, my kids don't have any respect for me and they don't mind me and they treat me terrible, and yet you're not teaching them the TV is. No wonder. What about shows where they take the name of the Lord in vain over and over and over? Oh, my blank. I'll let you fill it in. These are things we need to think about. Reality TV has been a big hit for a long time. But there's so much reality TV that's full of lying and deceit, especially have these reality game things that they play. Lying, deceptive, foul language, disrespect of others is common. Immodesty abounds. Lack of care and consideration and compassion for others is prominent. Where's the servant's heart? Where is caring for others? Where is honesty in all things? Where is respecting others? What about the music we listen to, that we choose to listen to? You know, back in my heyday, and I'm not going to tell you exactly when that was, but rap was pretty big back in my day, and I didn't actually listen to a lot of rap, but I tell you what, there's a big reason for that, is rap was full of meanness and violence and a total disrespect for authority and law enforcement. That was common. Sexual indecency and talk about that was prominent. But all genres of music have things, right? The pop genre has a lot of sexual innuendos in it. Music videos full of immodesty and indecent moves and dancing. Country music, of course, has always been known and still known for promoting the idea of alcohol and drinking, get drunk, have a good time. Rock and roll, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, all the things that go along with that. So many TV shows, so many movies, so much music promotes principles and ideas that are just absolutely sinful. They are absolutely wrong. Moral and especially Christian values are just, they just don't exist in so much of what I'm talking about. And so you and I have to make extra effort. We got to work a lot harder than the world does because we don't want to tune into that. We've got to work hard to keep our eyes and our ears from hearing that and what goes in front of our eyes and our children and grandchildren. We just got to work harder for that. Now, you might say, well, I watch some of these kinds of shows or I listen to some of this music. Now, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with how the people behave. The problem is I just don't think we're abhorring and hating the evil and loving the good. Maybe we're sort of loving the evil a little bit. Maybe we're enjoying the evil. I just don't think we need to be doing that. If it's being entertained by sin is what it is. It's enjoying sin. And this is not what God wants. This is not the standard that you and I ought to live up to. Back in the 1950s, now I wasn't around in the 1950s, but I'm sure some of you were around in the 1950s. We won't call any names, but You can correct me later if I'm wrong on this, but what I read back in the 1950s, that on TV in the 1950s, they did not show married couples sharing the same bed. Married couples slept in separate beds. Nowadays, you wouldn't be surprised to see two people of the same sex in the same bed. Oh, how far we have fallen. Language that was once not even used became censored or bleeped out. And then the censoring and the bleeping got less and less. Not because the language got better, because the standards got relaxed. These things influence us. When we allow these things into our home, they want to influence their viewers. And if we're the viewers, we're being influenced. Those who watch shows with filthy language are much more likely to use filthy language. The children who watch shows, as I mentioned earlier, where parents are disrespected, they're much more likely to disrespect their own parents and authority in general. Watching shows with a casual view of sex leads to young men and women taking part in sexual immorality. Even the news can be a negative influence on you. I think we need to be careful there. It can give you a bad attitude. It can give you such a pessimistic outlook on life. And yet we're Christians. We have so much to be thankful and glad for. All these influences are great danger to us. Don't doubt the power. Don't underestimate the power of a negative influence on your life and the life of your children and grandchildren. You are going to be influenced in some way, to some degree, whether you think so or not. So why do television companies and movie and recording studios and radio stations and all the streaming companies and content that we have, why do they allow this negative influence on society? Well, it's because its viewers, they allow it. Their viewers have a desire for it, and maybe even their viewers demand it. So you see, we're to blame. We enjoy being entertained, and we are perfectly willing to accept sin as long as it entertains me and it's enjoyable. If we allow ourselves to watch and to listen to so many sinful things, we're going to become conditioned to it, and that's a problem. You know, sin ought to set off a warning bell. We ought not be calloused to sin. It ought to set off a warning bell. But when we become accustomed to sin, we don't recognize it for what it really is. It's really sin. And this means there's no warning bell. And when those warning bells don't go off in our mind and in our attitude and our heart, then we have a tendency to accept it. If there is a danger, if there is a threat and there's no warning system, what happens? If this afternoon a thunderstorm pops up and a tornado comes out, and there's no tornado siren, the weather radio doesn't go off, the radio's not talking about it, the TV's not saying anything about it, and a tornado comes through here without a warning, what's going to happen? Our lives are in danger, aren't they? You take the Hurricane Michael that just came through, and you take, if there had been no warning for all those people, can you imagine the loss of life? You know, Mexico Beach and Panama City and all those areas, if they didn't know how bad it was going to get and didn't know a hurricane was really coming, lives would have been lost. Much more lives would have been lost. You see, people get hurt when there's no warning. And if we see and hear sinful things and our warning bell doesn't go out, our very souls are in jeopardy because we're not warned. That red flag doesn't go up. And a lack of recognizing sin for what it really is, sin, it leads us to tolerate it. Tolerance leads to the accepting of it. Oh, it's okay. And when it's okay, I participate in it. And participation in sin leads to eternal damnation because we're not following after God's word. We need to call sin what it is, and that's sin. It is an abomination to God, and it must be an abomination to you and I. We got to be like David. Go to Psalms 26, the 26th Psalm. David said, he has the right attitude here. Psalms 26, verse 4 and 5. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of the evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. David said, I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to sit with the wicked. Why do we tolerate it? We must abhor that which is evil. But what if we have found ourselves at a point where we are enjoying these things? We're enjoying too much of what we hear and see that is just not right, that we're not hating the evil like we should. Go to Romans 8. We're in danger. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to begin here in verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we enjoy wickedness, if we love the evil and hate the good, we are not spiritual people. We have become worldly people. We have become carnal people, as the passage says. And when we are carnal, we are spiritually dead. And we cannot please God in that condition. We must be spiritually minded. And we can't think like the world thinks. We can't enjoy what the world enjoys when the things are sinful. Let's go back to our theme text, Romans 12, verse 9. We're talking about abhor that which is evil, but the other side of that is to cleave to that which is good. And of course, what is good? Well, good is moral excellence. Good is what is right, is what is proper. Good is what is righteous. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Here we have works of the Spirit here. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are just some of the things that are good. Whatever is righteous is good. And of course, righteous is that which is right. But it's not what is right by you and me. It's what is right by God and the Word of God, according to Him. You know, there's a lot of things we can think of. We think about things that are good. Simple things that we can do. Caring for the sick and the needy. Praying to God. Teaching others the truth. Always being honest. Don't be deceptive. You know, hey, I need to make a little extra money on this car, so I'm not going to tell the real truth about this. I'm going to deceive them. We can't be doing things like that. We need to apply ourselves to the work of God, teaching our children and grandchildren the paths of God, always seeking the truth in God's Word. Those kinds of things is just the start of what is good. And these are the kinds of things that we ought to cleave to. Go with it to Matthew 19. You know, Matthew 19 talks about the relationship that a husband and wife have toward one another. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 4. Jesus speaking again, he says to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate or put asunder." I think the King James in verse 5 says that, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh." Just as a husband and a wife were separated as two beings and they cleave to one another and become one flesh, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. If we will cleave to that which is good, we will become one with that which is good. We will be so joined together with that which is good that we will not be separated from it. We will not want to be separated from it. You might say we're married to it. And that's a good thing, to become one with what is good, never wanting to be apart from it. Go to Proverbs with me. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 6. Proverbs 16, verse 6. "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." So we found ourselves in our life that we're not hating evil like we should, so we need to depart from that. He says here that by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So let's talk about the fear of the Lord for just a minute. You know, fear of the Lord is like, oh no, I'm scared of God. It's not that kind of fear. It's a kind of fear that there's an awe and reverence about to God and His Word. It's about standing in awe of God and submitting myself to God and His Word. You know, we sang a song that says, "Less of self and more of thee." You know, that's fearing God, giving ourselves over to His Word instead of doing my own will, but doing His will. And until we do that, until we come to a true understanding and fear of God, we are not going to hate the evil and love the good. Until we submit ourselves to Him, we're not going to be hating the evil like we should and loving the good like we should. If we found ourselves in that state, we need to make a change. We need to hate the evil and love the good. And I think there are some simple things that we can do that. First of all, we can read our Bible. We need to read a Bible. We need to do it every day. That doesn't mean, hey, I read my Bible this morning. Check. Can't just check the box. We need to read it to understand it. That means we need to be studying what we read. Study our Bible so that we know what it means. How does this apply to me? What does this mean to me? What's the context of this? How can I be benefited from this scripture that I'm reading? If you don't understand it, there's preachers, there's elders, there's deacons, there's Bible class teachers, there's other knowledgeable people in this group. Ask for help. Ask for a Bible study. Let's learn it. Pray to God. Pray to God often. Pray without ceasing. Show up to services. Show up for each and every service that you can show up to. I know there's times we can't, we're sick, but show up because we come together to build each other up, to edify one another. If you're not here, you can't edify me. If I'm not here, I can't build you up and edify you. Listen to the Word of God talk. You're here this morning. Thank you for being here. You're listening to the Word of God talk. Maybe you've been at Bible class this morning. Listen to the Word of God talk. You know, here at Oakland, we stream all the lessons that are preached here on our website. All the WKAC real lessons that we do are on the website, and you can listen to them in podcasts as well. Not everybody's tech savvy, and I understand that. There's CDs that you can get. You can go to gospel meetings. You know, there's a lot of other congregations in this area that they stream, and you can listen to their sermons. That happens all over this nation and even this world. We can do that. The point is, we have many opportunities to hear the Word of God taught. Try to take more advantage of those opportunities. Teach others what you do know. You ain't got to be the preacher. You ain't got to be the Bible class teacher. To teach someone, you know something. What do you know? We can teach others what we do know. Choose your friends wisely. Choose moral and Christian friends. If most of your friends, and if you spend most of your time with people of the world who are not spiritually minded, who are worldly and carnal minded, then you're going to have a negative influence on you. And it's very possible that maybe you have started becoming part of the world. So choose moral and Christian friends. Because if you're not, they have that negative influence. You know, there's an old saying that says, if you run with the wolves, sooner or later you're going to howl with them. That's very true. That's what's going to happen. Be careful what you watch and be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you do for fun. Be careful what you allow to entertain you. In Psalms 119, verses 101 through 106, he says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. We've got to refrain from the evil ways. God's words ought not be a burden to us. Oh, I got to do that. They ought to be sweet to us. And we must hate every false way. If we love the good, we will hate every false way. We got to constantly examine our lives. We got to be on constant guard of what we allow and especially what we invite into our sight and into our ears. Because those things enter into our hearts and they enter into our minds. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. When evil enters into our hearts, it so often comes right back out, a copy of what went in. So if evil's going in, there's going to be some evil to come out. The same is true of good. If we will put good in our sights, in our ears, we will just constantly be putting good into our hearts, then good will come out, a copy of what went in. And I'll close with this story. I'm going to read you a story that I know you know. Jeff has read this more than one occasion, but some of you have not heard this. You haven't been here, and others may just not remember the details. But I just didn't want to not read this because it fits in so good as we think about what do we listen to? What do we watch? What do we choose to be entertained with? It goes like this. A few months before I was born, my dad met a stranger who was new to our small Tennessee town. From the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around to welcome me into the world a few months later. As I grew up, I never questioned his place in our family. Mom taught me to love the Word of God. Dad taught me to obey it. But the stranger was our storyteller. He could weave the most fascinating tales. Adventures, mysteries, and comedies were daily conversations. He could hold our whole family spellbound for hours each evening. He was like a friend to the whole family. He took Dad, Bill, and I to our first Major League Baseball game. He was always encouraging us to see the movies and even made arrangements to introduce us to several movie stars. The stranger was an incessant talker. Dad didn't seem to mind, but sometimes Mom would quietly get up while the rest of us were enthralled with one of his stories of faraway places and go to her room, read her Bible, and pray. I wonder now if she ever prayed that the stranger might leave. You see, my dad ruled our household with certain moral convictions, but this stranger never felt an obligation to honor them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our house, not from us, from our friends, or adults. Our longtime visitor, however, used occasional four-letter words that burned my ears and made Dad squirm. To my knowledge, the stranger was never confronted. My dad didn't permit alcohol in his home, not even for cooking. But the stranger felt we needed exposure and enlightened us to other ways of life. He offered us beer and other alcoholic beverages often. He made cigarettes look tasty, cigars manly, and pipes distinguished. He talked freely, much too freely, about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I know now that my early concepts of the man-woman relationship was influenced by this stranger. As I look back, I believe it was the grace of God that the stranger didn't influence us more. Time after time, he opposed the values of my parents, yet was seldom rebuked and never asked to leave. More than 30 years have passed since the stranger moved in with a young family on Morningside Drive, but if I were to walk into my parents' den today, you would see him sitting over in a corner, waiting for someone to listen to him talk and watch him draw his pictures. His name, we just called him TV. I encourage you this morning, don't invite sin into your homes. Don't invite it into your lives. Be strong and courageous, always fighting for the way of the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you haven't put that old man to bed. You haven't put him away. To put him away by going in those watery grave of baptism, then I encourage you to do that before it's too late. If you're here this morning and maybe you've fallen away and you have got caught up in this, I don't hate the evil like I should, and I've fallen and I've become weak, and maybe you need the prayers of the saints and have forgiveness, then don't wait for that. Or maybe you're just here and you just need strength and you need encouragement and you need the saints here to pray for you, to help you in whatever struggles you may be going through. You can do that as well. Whatever you need that we can help you, make it known as we stand and sing the song selected.